Animals are such an incredible part of our lives. If you have a pet, it shares your home, or even if you just enjoy watching animals in the wild, there's so much about them that is really a mystery. Larry Mueller here, happy to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and really happy to have with us Patricia McConnell, certified applied animal behaviorist, author of a lot of books.
I think it's 13.
13 books.
You think I would know, wouldn't you? 13 or 14.
Well, after a dozen or so, it starts to...
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, we've talked about a whole host of things with her over the years, and today we want to talk about whether animals think and feel the way we do.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is intriguing to me. Sort of the inner mental life?
Yeah, you know, what's going on inside that furry or feathered head, you know? I mean, one of my earliest memories, Larry, was lying on the living room rug looking at my dog Fudge and thinking, what is going on in there? Is it like what's going on in my brain? You know, I was 5 years old and I just discovered that other humans have internal lives like I did. It's called theory of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've been trying to answer that question ever since I was five. So what's exciting about this topic now is that because of advances in technology and neurobiology, we can really start to do more than guess. You know, we can, you know, it was Skinner and some of the early behaviorists in the United States who said, we can't ever talk about subjective states or inner mental lives because it's a black box we can never get into. We can't measure it scientifically. We can't quantify it. We can't do research on it. But that's not true anymore. You know, now you can do, for example, an fMRI, which in real time shows you what part of your brain is working and what part of your brain is not and what part is associated with that kind of thought or that kind of emotion. And there are two researchers, two groups, one in Europe, one in Hungary, and one here in the States, Gregory Burns, who've done MRIs on dogs.
Oh.
Living, happy, not sedated dogs, actually. They used a lot of positive reinforcement training, the kind you and I used to talk about all the time.
Yeah.
They teach dogs to lay still in an MRI machine. So that kind of work and a lot of really interesting experiments that we can talk about are suggesting that there's a lot going on in there. And the question, of course, is how much is like what's going on in our minds and how much is different?
Yeah. How does their thinking compare to ours? In other words, that's what they're after, right?
Yeah. And, you know, just...
I'd like to know, too.
And that's a great question, because just the question of how does their thinking compare to ours? Well, if you think about it, thinking... I ask my students this. It's like, let's think about thinking. Think about it. What is thinking? But thinking is only part of your internal life. You know, there's a sort of aware, conscious, cognitive part. But then there's your emotional life. Then there's your unconscious brain, which actually takes up 95% of the energy used by your brain, which is a lot of the energy that you use, actually.
Mm-hmm.
95% of it is used by your unconscious. Only 5% is used by the part that you're consciously aware of.
Wow.
So there's your emotional life, there's your unconscious and your conscious life, there's your cognitive sort of rational thinking, problem-solving life, and there's a lot going on in there.
So do your dogs have a similar kind of thing going on?
Yeah, that's the question. So here's some of the things we know, and we know that if you look at emotions, for example, that emotions are really primitive. You know, they're mainly mediated out of a very primitive part of your brain. It's actually even called the mammalian brain, the limbic system. So the limbic system, fear and anger, all kinds of sort of primal basic emotions, they've got to be very similar in our dogs and our cats.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a glass partially empty and a glass partially full. I don't know if it's half and half. But,
sure.
But, you know, the primitive emotion of fear, for example, is designed to keep you alive, right?
Yeah.
So it's actually the primitive emotion of anger. And they're very primitive states. So they're mediated by parts of the brain, the ventromedial nucleus, for example, that is more active and larger in people. that sort of mediates the cognitive neocortex part of our brain. So we probably experience emotions somewhat differently than our dog or our cat. But the basic emotion of fear or anger is probably very, very similar in all mammals.
And probably not so much in what, birds?
Well, that's great.
Or reptiles?
That's so good you bring that up, Larry, because so often when, you know, people will talk about the inner life of animals. Or what are we talking about? I mean, they're 5,400 or something around their species of mammals. There are 450,000 species of beetles. So, you know, people talk about the inner life of animals. Well, what are we talking about? Are we talking about our dogs? Are we talking about the inner life of a cockroach or a earthworm? So one thing we don't know yet is, where are the lines drawn, for example? You know, if other animals have some kind of consciousness, where does that line get drawn? You know, it's... Many people would argue, and I'm one of them, that biologically the evidence is that dogs are consciously aware. Some people don't believe that, by the way, and argue against that. But
consciously aware, you mean... I'm aware of my surroundings. I'm aware of what's going on, and I...
I mean, isn't that's part of the trick, isn't it? It's trying to define what this stuff is, you know?
Yeah.
We all know it, right? We all know what consciousness is. But actually defining what it is. But, you know, for example, you can think, I love Wisconsin Public Radio. Or I find this show interesting or I find it not interesting. Mm-hmm. You are consciously aware of your thoughts, for example. So... But it turns out that most of what you do is actually run by your unconscious. So that's created a whole interesting line of inquiry into what the lives of, you know, our dogs are like. When we pick the leash up and they get all excited, are they as excited as we are about you know, helping out something we care about consciously, or are they just reacting?
Yeah, or my cats, Tiger. I look at Tiger and wonder, what is he thinking sometimes? He wants to come and sit right next to me, but he won't sit on my lap. But if I'm at the counter, the kitchen counter, he jumps up on the counter and then rubs and wants me to
feed him.
But he won't do it if I'm sitting on the couch.
But that's so cat-like, because cats like proximity, right? They like to hang out together in the same room. But not all cats like to cuddle. Some do, but less so than dogs, anyway. But then rubbing against you, it's like, feed me. Feed me.
He's got a full plate right down below on the floor.
Yeah, but you're so much more fun.
Oh man, do animals think, or how do animals think? What is the inner or mental life of animals? That's what we're talking about today with our guest Patricia McConnell, certified applied animal behaviorist, author of 13 books that we know about. maybe another one or two out there
13
that
and counting
have escaped our cognitions. But I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments as we move along today. And cat lover Judith Sears Poisson joins us right now, who loves cats.
Loves cats. Likes dogs, loves cats.
Yeah. And she likes talking about Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our fall membership drive. And she is here with me to tell you that listener contributions are the single largest source of funding.
It's true.
Yeah. So your gift keeps the programs that you value, including this one, on the air. So I hope you'll make a contribution right now. Call us at 888-202-2552. Or you can go online to WPR.org.
I think the question is whether your cat, Tiger, pledges to Wisconsin Public Radio, Larry.
Well,
maybe that's why he's rubbing up against you.
Well,
he's asking for the credit card.
He's probably rubbing up against me because he knows that I have contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio.
He's rewarding you. Well, right now we have a really exciting opportunity. We have a dollar-for-dollar match. Speaking of rewards, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,200. This generous generous match is from anonymous donors, including a pair who love the Larry Mueller Show. And it means that they'll match every dollar you give. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
And when you pledge, you'll be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You can donate any amount during our fall membership drive, any amount at all. And you could travel the Rhine River in Europe, or you might want to see Alaska's beautiful scenery, or maybe you want to join Judith and experience the rich culture of France and its cuisine.
Get your pledge doubled right now. It's a wonderful opportunity. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you might have found yourself hovering near the radio. You get drawn into a great discussion. That's happened to me, actually, when I've listened. You need to get somewhere, but that discussion is really interesting. And just the other day, I sat in my car, as a matter of fact. You know, you appreciate what the guest has to say and also the opinions and the views of the callers. That may well have happened to you. And if it has, I hope you'll make a pledge of support right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And remember, everyone who pledges this drive will be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip, your choice, the Rhine River, Alaska, or France. I hope you'll choose France with me. You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Not every pledger gets. I don't get to go.
No, no.
See, I don't get to go, nor does anyone from Wisconsin Public Radio.
But you, the listeners.
Except for you.
Except for
at least to France. And I tell you what, that's a good thing. We want you to be eligible, and I hope you win. You don't have to pledge to participate even. You can just send us a postcard with your name and address and email. We need your email and telephone number, and just go to WPR Trip Drawing. It's at 821 University Avenue. That's where we are right now, 821 University Avenue in Madison. The zip's 53706. You can enter by sending a postcard, or better yet, make your pledge right now at WPR.org. Or where do they go?
888-202-2552.
How'd you like to cruise up the Rhine River, visiting beautiful towns in Germany and France? That could be you this December, enjoying Christmas markets, tasting fine cheeses, walking through picturesque towns. You'll even visit Beethoven's home and enjoy classical music throughout the trip. This tour is just one of three trips you'll get to choose from when you win our Choose Your Own Adventure drawing during this membership drive. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Learn all the details at WPR.org/drawing, or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good luck.
Tell you what, that music is putting me in the mood. In the mood to give. How about you? Go to WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during our fall membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson. Of course, we're asking for your support of WPR. And your gift, I don't care the amount. It could be $10 a month, or maybe it's $15 a month. Whatever the amount you choose, that's certainly the right amount for you.
And making your pledge even easier for yourself is what you can do when you become a sustainer. Choose a monthly amount that's right for you. Maybe it's $10 or $15 a month, and have it charged from your bank account or your credit card.
And when you're a sustainer, your monthly gift will continue year after year, so your support's always current. Become a sustainer right now. You can do it by just going to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. It's the most efficient and powerful way you can give.
And you'll always be entered in those great drawings. You don't have to worry about doing it, so that's another benefit. You don't have to live in a big city to have access to everything the world has to offer. You know why? Because you get it right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
And whether you live in a small town or a big city, when you listen to WPR, you're in our global public square. You're hearing from artists, reporters, experts like Patricia in the forefront of their fields. Because you appreciate this access to the best the world has to offer, I hope you'll make a pledge right now. Support WPR by going to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And we do have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now, up to $4,200. It's a great time to pledge because anonymous donors who include a pair who love The Larry Miller Show will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And Larry, what's another great reason to become a member?
Well, I doubt that anybody's heard this, but if you give any amount, you're entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. And you can get to choose a cruise along the Rhine River in Europe, or you can discover Alaska, I think, with Joy Cardin.
Yes.
And you could also go with Judas to France. So, tell you what, that's a wonderful opportunity, and you can double your donation right now as well. So, and getting entered in the drawing will be a good thing for you at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I love this comment from Carrie from Fenimore. She says, I'm new to Wisconsin, and I love listening to The Larry Miller Show on the way to work. It's so informative and makes me excited about the community that exists here. Thank you for having such a wonderful and welcoming radio station. Well, thank you, Carrie. And you know, you can join Carrie. Your pledge right now says, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. You fill in the blank with how you feel when you hear this show. Those are all powerful feelings, and you make a powerful statement when you support what you value and what you believe in. So join, renew, or make an extra gift right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you haven't contributed yet, I hope you will do it. If you have, thank you so much. If you haven't, now's the time to do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution right now while you listen to our guest expert today, Patricia McConnell, certified applied animal behaviorist. She and I have done so many shows together over the years. We had our own show, and it's always such a treat for me to be able to sit across the table from her at the microphones and talk. And today, we're visiting about animal cognitions. And I should mention, this is something you're going to be talking about. You've got a seminar coming up on Tuesday, October 28th, if I'm not mistaken. This is in the Madison area at the Sheraton Hotel on John Nolan Drive. I know that hotel very well. Nice hotel. From 7 to 9 on October...
Yeah, it's an evening talk for animal lovers who are interested in watching videos of animals doing interesting things and sort of reports of some of the newest research out about what we know about the inner lives of animals, how much they're like ours, how much they're different, what your cat is thinking when she or he rubs up against you. So it's really, really fun. There's lots of videos, and I think there are already 235 people signed up.
Wow,
so
great.
So there's a big crowd of animal lovers coming. So join the group. Just go to my website. Just go to my name, Patricia McConnell, and go to events, and you can join up too. And come say hi. If you're a WPR listener, come up and say hi.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. That's Tuesday, October 28th, 7 to 9 p.m. Taking a look at the inner or mental life of animals today with our guest, certified applied animal behaviorist and author Patricia McConnell. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question. And matter of fact, Diane in Sparta has one, Patricia, so let's go there. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I was wondering, do dogs see other dogs as the same breed or just another dog? Because our golden retriever appears to react differently when he sees another golden retriever than when he just sees another dog.
Interesting.
Oh, it's a wonderful question, and we don't know. Based on what we do know, I would say yes, but. So, first of all, can a golden retriever notice that there's a group of dogs who look golden retriever-like? Absolutely. Right? You know, they can tell. I mean, they're highly visual. They can see shape and coat color and how much hair is on the tail just as easily as we can, without question. So, and I also should add that I've had a lot of clients whose dogs were uncomfortable with a particular breed of dog for whatever reason, you know? And sometimes it's about size, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's about, I'm only afraid of black labs.
Hmm.
So I think if you think about it, given that we can tell differences between them, it's almost trivial in a way, you know, if you think about it.
Sure.
Sure they can. And I think one of the things I find interesting is, that we don't know, is there a different smell? Do golden retrievers have a different smell than border collies?
Mm.
They behave differently, and I think that's also part of it. You know, border collies have a particular way of playing. They love to run. They don't wrestle play like a lot of the bully breeds, etc. So the primary answer is yes, but I think we also need to keep in mind that it doesn't mean that they categorize them as a breed. You know, breed is sort of an arbitrary human construct, you know, right?
Yeah, sure.
And is actually defined differently in different parts of the country. It's actually defined by area or location in other parts of, I said country, I meant world.
Yeah.
So there's a great story by Ray Coppinger, who was looking for Great Pyrenees or Anatolian shepherd dogs to guard flocks of sheep from predators. And he found a dog that sort of looked like one and a shepherd and a bunch of sheep and the Anatolian region, and he went up to the shepherd and the man and said, is your dog, is that an Anatolian shepherd? And the guy looked around and said, well, are these the Anatolian mountains? I was like, it was a dog with sheep. So, yeah, of course it was. So do they think of breed in the same way we do? Probably not. But can they distinguish between different types of dogs? I would say absolutely.
There you go. Thanks, Diane.
And can I just bring up,
that
brings up such an interest, that question is such a good one, because this whole concept of category relates to the ability of non-human animals to think like we do. So here's an example of some interesting research on pigeons.
Okay.
Some people do have pigeons as pets, by the way. So we don't tend to think of pigeons as the rocket scientists of the world, but, you know, actually it turns out there's a lot going on in there. So here was the research. They showed a pigeon lots and lots and lots of pictures of three things, three categories: trees, people, and bodies of water. And what they wanted to know is, could pigeons learn not just to identify that's a tree, but to understand the concept, the abstract concept, that there's such a thing as a category, which is an abstraction, right? There's no, I can't say, Larry, I'm handing you a category. Here's a category. Here you are. Take this category, right? It's an abstraction. It's
sure.
A mental abstraction, which is how we define thinking, by the way. So can pigeons form abstractions of these categories? And indeed, it turned out to be true, is even if you showed them a picture of just a person's elbow, they could correctly categorize it under the people category.
Wow.
Even though, you know, they'd seen a whole bunch of pictures of different people, different body parts. So they could categorize trees, water, and people, even with tiny little selected parts of the image. So that's the first suggestion, that an animal, even as simple as a pigeon, can still form these abstractions.
You know, as soon as you mentioned pigeons, I thought of the television series Hill Street Blues.
Oh, we were just watching that a couple of days ago. Blast from the past.
Because the one of the lieutenants was a pigeon guy.
Oh, I forgot
that.
He
kept pigeons on the roof of his where he lived.
Pigeons are fascinating. You and I did a show about a book written about pigeons, which completely changed my
whole thinking about pigeons.
It did, and it made it hard in the barn, because pigeons are not always welcome guests in one's barn. Because pigeons, as it turns out, poop a lot on your hay.
And that's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing. And I don't know what they're thinking when they do it.
You can join in. 1-800-642-1234. Talking about animal cognition. How do animals think today, with our guest, Patricia McConnell? Email us, too, at talk@wpr.org. And as a matter of fact, Steve in Madison emailed and said, when I was a kid, I heard a great definition of a cat, a small furry animal on the wrong side of the door.
That's hysterical.
That certainly applies to every cat I've ever known. When I open the door, they always want to go through it, even if they turn right around and come back. It appears that the point is not to be on the other side, but just to get to the other side. And I have that same thing with Coco and Tiger. they always want to go through that basement door.
Mm-hmm. And then?
Then they're happy enough to turn around and come
back.
Then
they want back again. Well, here's some guesses, and these are based on what we know about the ethology of the house cat. So they're guesses. You know, we can't ask them yet. But although maybe there's some interesting experiment somebody could come up with. But you know, I have had indoor-outdoor cats. And what I would find, a lot of other people had the same issue, is you'd open they'd meow, right? You'd open the door, and then they'd just sit at the door. And they just sit there. Yeah. Of course, it's winter, right? And all the heat is leaving your house. Well, cats, that's part of the natural history of cats, is they don't just blunder into a new area. They often share territories. It's called home ranges. But what they will do is they will come to the edge of the home range and sit down and wait to see if there's another cat out there.
Oh.
And if there's and they'll sit for 30 minutes. So I think they just think we're impatient fools, basically.
Oh, man. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to say that's an example of how understanding the natural behavior of an animal can give us some insight into what they're thinking. Although, again, in this case, you know, since we can't quite ask them yet, we're still just guessing.
Are there some more? Is there more research? I'm sure there is going on about. You were talking about MRIs, for example, with dogs.
Yeah, that's just started because usually anybody who's had an MRI knows that, one, you can't move, and two, it's really not a lot of fun in there. You know, it's very noisy, right? And you can't move for a long period of time, and they put you in this little donut tunnel. So how do you do an MRI on a dog when you can't sedate them? Because the whole idea is to have their brain conscious, right? The great thing is that... I remember her name, Magda Gazi in Budapest, Hungary, and Gregory Burns here in the States both use positive reinforcement to train dogs to actually stay completely still. They put headphones on them to block the sound so the sound wasn't too aversive and actually can hurt their ears.
Yeah.
And then they just train them to stay perfectly still using just treats and positive reinforcement. And ended up, Burns discovered, for example, that the same part of the brain lights up, that the part that lights up when we're like bonded in a relationship and see somebody we love, the same part of the brain lights up when a dog sees their owner.
Is that right?
How sweet is that?
That is sweet.
Now, this is not a shock to many of us who know that we love our dogs. Maybe they love us as much, but isn't that fun? Isn't that cool?
Even the kitties, though. I mean, even Tiger and Coco lots of times seem happy to see me.
Oh, yeah. Now, training a cat to stay motionless in an MRI is going to take
a little bit
more work. Good luck with that.
Not going to happen with Tiger and Coco. I can tell you that for free. That will never happen. And now, I bet Judith Sears Poisson probably could stay still for at least that long, but she's
probably
in constant motion in and out of the studios.
If I'm getting a treat every time I'm still, that I'm very, what's the term when food is a good incentive for you?
Highly motivated.
I'm highly motivated by
easily you. Trainable.
Well, I'm highly motivated too, because between the two of us, we need to tell you, as you listen to this show, that you are very important. You know that? You're the most important part. You're the most important source of our income at Wisconsin Public Radio. And your gift, it takes just a couple minutes of time, and it keeps this program going. So I hope you'll invest in your future listening by donating right now. You can go to WPR.org. or phone 888-202-2552.
And boy, talk about positive reinforcement. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. It's from anonymous donors, including a pair who love the Larry Miller Show. So thanks to them, your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and so on. So take advantage of this match and double your support for WPR programs when you give right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And there's yet another great reason to give. What is that, Larry?
Well, if you pledge any amount, we're going to enter you into a contest to win two tickets on a WPR trip. And you can go to France with Judith. You can go to Alaska with Joy. Who's on the Rhine River?
Peter Bryant, who is the music director and a wonderful guy. He's fun. He knows a lot. He would be a lot of fun to cruise the Rhine with.
You can double the impact of your pledge right now as well and enter the drawing. Just do it by going to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And we do have this dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,200. We're at $2,500 right now. So that means $1,700 that we need to make sure we don't leave on the table. So help us get there. You know, some of our regular guests on this program, we know you appreciate them. We have Peter Green with our computers, Sandy Sawchuk, our veterinarian, Phil Pelletieri, who answers our endless questions about insects, Melinda Myers, nationally known garden expert, based right in Milwaukee.
And Patricia McConnell has been with us so many times through the course of the year. You get great information you can use from those guests and so many others on the program. And it's really, for me, it's a real pleasure to have them on. I know it is for Judith, too. And it's your contribution that makes it possible. So I hope you'll pledge right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, if you've never given before, but you find yourself looking forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign that it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you. And actually, Lynn from Fond du Lac just wrote and said, I've been a listener for years and just decided that it was my time to start donating.
Woo!
Thank you, Lynn.
Thanks, Lynn. And you're important to us because we are listener-supported radio, and we count on financial support from people just like you, people who rely on WPR to bring them something special. Every day, your gift, maybe it's $5 a month, or maybe it's $10 a month, whatever the amount that's right for you, make it now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
People who listen, that means you, provide the most significant share of WPR's budget. It's that simple. Your donation comes with no strings attached, so we can invest it in programs that deliver the greatest value right back to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for the entire community. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
This is what your kids sound like when you don't listen to public radio.
You're looking at me.
No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
No,
you're not. Yes, you are.
And this is what your kids sound like when you do listen to public radio.
You're looking at me.
No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
No, you're
not.
Yes, you are.
Here's Corey Flintoff,
says the restrictions.
Okay, they might not get it now, but kids who grew up listening to public radio often end up listening to public radio as adults. Invest in their future learning. Donate today. Your kids will thank you later.
And I hope you will donate right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support of WPR during our fall membership drive. And maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
It is. And we do have a dollar-for-dollar match right now, just up until noon, so about 20 minutes left to go. It's up to $4,200, and we are at $2,800, so $1,400 to go. So that makes it an especially good time to pledge, because those anonymous donors, including a pair who love the Larry Mueller Show, will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And what is that they say, Larry? But wait, there's more.
Oh, there's more. If you give any amount, you're entered to win a trip, two tickets, actually,
yeah,
to a Wisconsin Public Radio trip. And I've been on a couple of those trips, and they are a lot of fun. They are a lot of fun. And you get to choose. You don't get to go with me. I don't think I'm going on any of these, but I'm pretty sure I'm not. But there are some great people going to the Rhine River in Europe. You can discover Alaska or sample the French lifestyle. So I hope you'll double your donation right now and get entered in that drawing at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Denise from Houston, Minnesota says, I just renewed my membership a couple weeks ago, but listening to Larry and Patricia while cooking chili in my kitchen inspired me to give. What could be better than WPR and chili in October? Well, thank you so much for that, Denise. And if you're like Denise and you've made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, now make a habit of donating. It's a great habit. It's actually a habit you can be proud of, unlike maybe some others that you could think of. Get started today. You can help with your pledge of any amount and get it doubled right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks if you've already contributed, but if you haven't, boy, this would be a wonderful time to do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution right now. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, having a lot of fun today talking with Patricia McConnell, certified applied animal behaviorist, author about animal cognition. She's going to be talking about it at a seminar.
Evening talk, I think.
It's an evening talk. Seminar sounds a little stuffy, and you are not stuffy at all.
Well, it's a combination of slides and videos, really fun videos. Oh, my goodness. Dolphins making bubble rings and playing with them, and crows playing with cat tops down a rooftop. And oh, there's a crow. Can I tell you about this Caledonian crow?
Yeah.
There's a crow that in the wild in Australia actually creates tools, makes a hook, like it's like a crochet hook out of twigs, and they use it to pry insects out of the bark. And when they find a really good one, they actually even will put it somewhere in their feathers so they can fly around with it.
Oh.
But here's the coolest part. Is they took some of these crows into the laboratory. This is a question about cognition and problem solving.
Yeah.
And they gave this crow a problem. The problem was that at the bottom of a cylindrical glass tube was a little basket with food in it. Ah. But they couldn't get, it was way down there.
Way down the bottom.
And the only thing in the cage with the crow and the cylindrical glass tube and the basket was a straight piece of metal. And the crow picked up the straight piece of metal and tried to get the basket out, but there's no way to do that. So the crow puts his foot down, or her, I don't know, uses her, we'll say, feet and beak, and creates a hook from this pliable piece of metal, from the straight piece of metal, takes the other end of the hook, inserts it down into the depth of the glass tube, hooks the handle of the basket, pulls the basket out with the hook, and gets the food. Now, how cool is that?
I mean, you know, you observe that and you think, well, how can they not? I mean, these are animals that can think.
That's impressive, right? Isn't that impressive? So that's one of the hot topics right now in animal cognition is problem solving. You know, what kind of problems can animals solve or not solve?
Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing to consider. Colleen in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Colleen.
Oh, hi. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say I'm listening to you and Patricia and thinking to myself, why on earth are these monkey mother deprivation experiments going on here at the university? When I listen and I think about monkeys and how they must think and behave, and they see this experiment seems pointless. So can you address that, Patricia?
Yeah, I'm happy to. It is indeed a very controversial experiment. Has actually on a committee that was charged by the university to create dialogue between some of the animal-related researchers on campus and the public who's interested in this issue. There is actually a debate, and this is a wonderful opportunity. There's actually a debate about the ethics of this type of research that will be this Thursday night at, let me look. I'm looking at my calendar. 1111 Biotechnology at the UW campus at 7 o'clock. So that's biotechnology. It's a debate about the ethics of doing maternal deprivation research. And so your question is a very, very good one, and I think it brings up an even bigger issue, a huge issue, which is as we increasingly understand the depth and the nuance of the mental life of non-human animals, what are the implications of that?
Yeah.
You know, how does that affect research? How does that affect agriculture? how does that even affect companion animal ownership? I mean, there are people and organizations who strongly believe that it's ethically wrong to own a dog. I'm not one of those. I'll just come right out and say that. I think the relationship between us and dogs is a biological miracle that should be celebrated, maybe studied some more and given a little bit more respect, I think, sometimes. But there are a lot of ethical questions that arise from our increasing knowledge about, as I said, the complexity and depth of the emotional and mental life of non-human animals. And I think that's partly why, in some cases, this research makes some people uncomfortable, in the fact that it makes life a little less black and white. It makes it a little more complicated to think about how we treat and use non-human animals.
Well, some people might say that, you can look at a pet and say, okay, it's feeling bad because of something. But maybe it's not that. There may be something else at work. I've heard that discussion.
Well, yeah. I mean, that brings up the great question of the big A word, being anthropomorphic. You know, when I was first in school, I was taught that it's always wrong to be anthropomorphic. It's like the worst thing you could do, which is attributing human traits to non-human animals. But the fact of the matter is many of what we call human traits, they're not human traits at all. They're mammalian traits, or they're animal life traits. We happen to have them too, because, hello, we're animals, we're mammals, and we're primates. And so it can be very useful to be what Frantz de Waal calls being animal-centric rather than anthropomorphic, which is not putting us in the center of the world, but trying to envision life and the perspective of a non-human animal as best we can. Trying to imagine their Umwelt, trying to imagine their perception of reality and sort of what their experience of life is like. And obviously we can never really do that completely.
No.
But we can get closer and closer.
Yeah. Well, you wonder what's going through the mind. Amy here, for example, not what's going through Amy's mind, but what's going through her golden retriever's mind, who seems smart at times, but yet when the door is open about 3 inches, the golden won't push it open to come into the room. However, the cat comes by and opens the door further, and then the dog goes through.
That's too funny. I love that. Thank you. Thank you, Amy, for that story. I think many of us with dogs and cats are both laughing at that. There are all kinds of answers I could make. You know, some dogs don't get... If you think about it, it is a problem. To get a door open, you have to push it. If it opens towards you, you have to push it in the opposite way you want it to go.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting... Think about it. That's an interesting mental construct that you have to sort of sort through, and it goes against your instinct, which is to push through. I think some animals are smart enough to figure that out. I mean, I have a new border collie right now who instantly, the first time that I know if she was presented with that, she just wrapped her little paw around it and pulled it towards her. My other border collie, it took him a couple of years to figure out. So it's not, all border collies aren't brilliant. It might be that your golden, on the other hand, got sort of mistakenly his nose pinched in the door or something. So perhaps he or she is more cautious of it.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of things that could be going on. We need to be able to talk to them, It's just ask them.
Oh, it'd be so much fun, wouldn't it? And I'm thinking about Tiger. When you mentioned that, I was thinking about Tiger.
Yeah.
Because immediately Tiger knew to get his paw around the door and pull it open. He knew right away.
After the break, I'll talk about comparisons of dogs and wolves solving similar problems.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. But we have a problem to solve right now.
I'll bet that, you know
it's
how.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge more than a problem.
Well, yeah, it's a challenge. I guess we should say it's not a problem. It's an issue. It's a challenge as we are in the midst of our fall membership drive. And I'm with Judith Sears-Poisson, who's wandered in again.
Just wandering randomly.
Wandering around. Here she comes.
I figured out how to open the door to the studio there.
Somebody put a leash on her.
You have to pull it toward yourself to get in, and it's Abby.
Hook my little paw.
Yeah, but she's here to tell you, like me, that your support is the foundation of our budget. It's what's make Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. And certainly we're going to get back to Patricia very quickly, but we are here to encourage you to go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 right now to make your gift in support of the programs that you count on.
And here we are, just about 7 minutes left in the hour, and we have $70 left to go to make that challenge grant up to $4,200. So help us make sure we don't leave a penny of that on the table. Generous anonymous donors, including a couple of them who love the Larry Miller Show, have put up that dollar-for-dollar match, which means your gift of 50 turns into 100, 100 turns into 200, and so on. So take advantage of this match and double your support for WPR programs like the Larry Miller Show when you give. Right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And as if that wasn't enough, Larry, why else should they pledge?
Well, pledge any amount and you're automatically entered to win a couple of tickets on a WPR trip, and you can choose between a holiday tour of Europe along the Rhine River, you can go to Alaska, you can travel to France. Double the impact of your pledge and enter that drawing right now just by going to WPR.org or phoning 888-202-2552.
You know, on the Ideas Network, you hear from the person who might have written the bill that's in the legislature, who wrote the book, like Patricia, who has unique expertise. Again, like Patricia, we're glad to seek these people out and get them on the show. And we're privileged, in fact, that so many wonderful, knowledgeable people want to come and talk with our listeners. But really, it's your support that makes it possible. So make great radio happen right now and in the days to come with your pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And you might think about making a gift of $1,200. That's $100 a month. Listener support is really crucial to WPR's future.
And if you're feeling like you'd like to do more than you've done before, do consider that 9XM Leadership Circle contribution of $100 a month or more. You can make that contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
I know you will. Pledge now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Miller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. And maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
It is. And giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is just a couple minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, maybe $10 a month.
And that donation comes back to you every day. How? Well, in the form of great programs. So please show your support at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
Laura from Lake Geneva says, I listen every day and I'm a sustainer already, but this program with Larry and Patricia McConnell is just so interesting. I wanted to make an extra donation. Well, thank you so much for that, Laura. We really appreciate that because here at Wisconsin Public Radio, our shareholders are members, listeners like you who value thoughtful, independent programming and support it with their donations. We're sure that you can hear this difference every day, and that's why you choose Wisconsin Public Radio.
And right now we're asking you to become a shareholder in public radio. You can make your monthly gift online. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I am so happy we made our dollar for dollar match. Thank you so much to all of you who have donated, to the anonymous donors who put up that challenge. But you know what? There are other reasons to become a member right now. Larry, what's one of those?
You can give any amount and you're entered to win two tickets on our WPR trip. And you get to choose a cruise along the Rhine River in Europe. You can discover Alaska. Maybe you want to sample the French lifestyle. You can do that. Double your fun right now. Two tickets you're going to win. If you enter that, or you may win, if you enter that drawing at WPA, you're not for sure going to win, but you might win if you go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You know, if you've never given before, new members are especially important to us. Richard and Jane from Longmont, Colorado say WPR is the best public radio station in the nation. And Cindy from Poplar says, I've been meaning to donate for quite some time. We recently retired and listen to WPR even more than ever. Time for us to finally donate to your wonderful station. Well, a big thank you to all of our brand new donors like Cindy who have pledged so far.
And if you are listening and have never given before, I hope you will know that your new membership is going to help keep Wisconsin Public Radio that strong, reliable station that you depend on. You decide the amount. A lot of people choose $5 a month to begin with. Others choose $10 or $20 a month. Whatever that amount, just give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And also, we say it in a lot of ways. Make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. We can say, stand up and be counted. Make your voice heard. Support what you love. You do all these things, and you really do make a difference when you give. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We're going to continue our conversation with Patricia McConnell, but if you haven't contributed, do it right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you've ever looked at your pet and wondered, what is he or she thinking? This is the show for you. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Patricia McConnell, a certified applied animal behaviorist and author of several books, and she always has some interesting things to talk with us about. Today, it's how animals think, animal cognition. Join in at 800-642-1234. And Patricia, I know before we broke for news, you were going to talk about wolves and dogs and how they think and reason, and do they think alike?
Well, the specific thing I wanted to talk about was about problem solving, because there have been a number of experiments comparing wolves and dogs, or wolves and or dogs and other wild canids. Like there was one with dingoes, and basically in all the experiments, you know, I got thinking about this because we were talking about animals using their paw to like open a door,
right?
So. There have been a lot of experiments comparing the problem-solving abilities of dogs versus wolves or other wild canids. And one of the ones that's very well known is that the animals were trained that there was food under like a chair, you know, food under something they couldn't get to. And the way they got the food out was to pull on it, was basically to sort of grasp a hold of a rope and pull it. And they all learned how to do that. But then they made it harder, and they made it sort of you had to pull on this rope and then that rope. And first of all, well, in general, what they found with this study and other studies is that, number one, wolves are almost always better than dogs at solving problems.
Yeah.
Wolves were quicker to figure out how to get the food with the rope. Dingoes were quicker than dogs to figure out, rather than going straight through like a chain link fence to try and get food that you can see right on the other side. So dingoes have figured out, you know, like the wall, the fence actually stops 30 yards down there. I'm just going to go around. And the dogs were like digging and like, but what's, I think, particularly interesting to dog lovers is that there's other research, especially in McClosey's lab in Budapest in Hungary, that has found that possibly the reason for that is not just because wolves are smarter than dogs, or even that wolves are smarter than dogs, but that dogs, because of their long relationship with humans, are very, very quick to turn their head around and look at the person and go like, would you like to get the food from under the chair? Which I consider to be pretty darn smart problem solving.
Yeah.
And you can do this yourself. You can set this experiment up. You can put food in such a way that your dog can't get it. And you can compare different dogs, and some dogs will just instantly turn around and be like, Mom, You know, and the toy under the chair. I mean, Willie, my border collie, will be like, Mom, you know. He'll just instantly turn around. He won't even try because he knows I'm going to get it for him. So is that dumb?
I don't think so.
It's just a different problem-solving methodology.
You know, someone this morning sent me a video of, and it was an old video of a guy, a comedian really, who is a very good dog trainer with his dog. And he brings the dog out and the dog kind of stands out there and he tries to get the dog to do all these things and the dog, you know, just won't do them.
I know the routine you're talking about.
How can he get the dog to do that? And they swear the dog is not sedated or anything and it would flop the way, you know. It was amazing.
It's hysterical. Yeah, and he just taught the dog to flop, you know, no matter what I do, flop.
Yeah. And then he finally, in the end, he lets the dog go. And then the dog, you know.
And the dog is brilliant and does everything, you know.
At the end, once it's over. But I thought to myself, you know, if somebody was urging me on like that, I would have a hard time controlling myself and not responding.
You would start giggling. I can hear you. Here you're laughing right now. You would start. I think we should do that. I think we should put Larry on the floor, tell him to lie down and stay, and then me and Judith can try and get him up and see how.
It wouldn't be hard. All you'd have to do is tickle a little bit, and they jump right up. Jackie in Milwaukee, thanks a lot for calling. Hi.
Hi. My first contact with public radio was the first show with Patricia years ago. But my point is, I think people, not just dogs and cats, I think people should be more aware of the animals that are in our area or in our lives. I worked at a pet store many years ago. There were no requirements when animals came in. We had bonobos. But the thing I'm bringing up, we had a cage that was full of monkeys, squirrel monkeys. Anybody else came near that cage, they hit to the other side. But when a woman with her little girl who was a Down syndrome came, the monkeys came and put their paws out.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Wow.
That's fascinating on so many levels because, one, you couldn't possibly legally sell squirrel monkeys in a pet store anymore.
Yeah.
But how interesting that they responded so differently to this little girl. You know, there's so much that we do. You know, we were talking about the unconscious and conscious before. There's so much that we do that can either invite contact with an animal or put them off. And a lot of what we do as humans is actually antithetical to greeting behavior in a lot of other animals. You know, we walk straight up. We, you know, that Carnegie stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Make eye contact, walk straight up, lean forward, put your hand out. You know, all that stuff is really rude, in the sort of the society of a lot of animals. It's part of why, you know, I had the joke about how the people that cats love the most are the people who are allergic.
Yeah.
Well, there's some truth to that because people who are allergic don't do that primate face-to-face, sort of lean forward, stare at cats, lean at them. You know, they tend to sort of back away and turn their heads away, which is exactly how polite cats greet each other. So Jackie brings up such an interesting point that so much of how we behave influences how other animals behave. And that's based on especially with squirrel monk, a very rich mental life that is making all kinds of evaluations and decisions about what they're seeing.
Yeah. And Jackie, thank you again. I appreciate your call. I want to give Carrie, who's calling from Mexico, or Carl, I should say, from Mexico, a chance to join in. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Yeah. Am I coming through clear?
Yes, you are. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Well, I got an example of a dog that's obviously thinking here of, actually several, a bunch of Airedales in the past. The, let's see, example. Okay, you got a flipper door handle. Of course, they can open that, even if it's locked. They figure out the lock button to push the lock button too. But also, we had several that would open a round doorknob.
They
would open the door, and then of course as you can about imagine here, you mentioned the word ride, go for a ride in a vehicle. Oh my gosh, oh wait, where are we gonna go? And they dash out the door ahead of you, and then come to a screeching halt and look around the yard. The yard's full of big trucks, jeeps, pickups, cars, anything. Which vehicle are we going in? Come on, tell me which one.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And the leash means something, and do you want your dinner means something? I actually would use that, Larry. I work with a lot of aggressive dogs, as you know, for 23 years. Most of my appointments, actually, with people were about aggression, about 60 or 70%. So I remember getting out of my car, and there were times before I learned better a little bit about client management, not dog management, but client management. I would get out of the car, and the dog who I had been called because they'd bitten three visitors, they'd be loose outside, right? And so when I was young and inexperienced, and cross out stupid for inexperienced, so I would get out of my car, and there are these huge dogs. Rah, 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 rah. And one thing I learned to do really quickly was say, do you want to go on a walk? Or do you want your ball? And literally, it doesn't work every time. It's not magic. But these dogs would be running at me. Rah, 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 and I'd say, do you want to go on a walk? And they'd be like, screech, head cock. It's like, yeah, yeah, going to go on a walk? Huh, huh. So, yes, we certainly, they can be conditioned to learn an association between a sound, a word, you know, and something that makes them really happy, just like us.
That's a great story. Thanks. And, Carol, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. We have an email from Catherine who says, I have a comment about something I heard a few minutes ago. My daughter's returning from New Zealand and New Caledonia at the end of this month, and she spent the past 4 years conducting experiments with the crow.
Oh, fantastic. The Caledonian crow that we were just talking about.
Yeah, she's
love it.
Completing her doctorate at the University of New Zealand, Auckland, in the psychology department, animal cognition and behavior. The crow is studied in an aviary in the field on the island of New Caledonia as part of research conducted at the university in Auckland, in addition to the experiment mentioned by Patricia. Some of your listeners may have seen the NOVA on animal intelligence, where my daughter's colleagues showed a collection of very complex tools made by the crows in the wild. As far as I know, this research doesn't have a connection with
I am corrected. I said Australia, and I should have said New Zealand.
Ah.
That is a very important distinction, and I apologize to all New Zealanders, many of which are friends of mine, which will never forgive me. Don't tell them. Please don't tell them. Oh, dear. Talk about categories. You know, my brain went like, yeah, those really cool places down south of here. Very different places. Very different.
Lynn in Eau Claire has something for us, a question. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Larry and Patricia. I have a wonderful dog. He's a boxer, a pit bull boxer mix. And I'm curious about how intuitive he is. They are. I was never a dog person. I liked cats, but this guy he's got my heart. But if I'm down or if I'm hurting, he doesn't leave my side.
Hmm.
I mean, he knows I'm bad before I know I'm bad.
So are they intuitive, I guess, is the question.
Oh, there's so many issues that you bring up in that great question. Thank you, Lynn. So one way to answer that question is, can dogs sense our emotional states and respond to them in some ways that are somewhat sympathetic? And the answer is probably certainly yes, in that emotions are contagious, and they are, you know, we talked about emotions being really primal things that are shared by all mammals. So can your dog sense if you're down and depressed a little bit? I think absolutely no question, you know, no question at all. Intuition, you know, that's a whole other interesting question. Is, you know, intuition is actually one of the words we use to talk about our unconscious, you know, is that you get this gut feeling, you get this sense that maybe somebody's not trustable, but you can't come up with a rational reason for it. So that's your intuition. And there's no question that dogs probably are making a lot of decisions based on those same factors.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm thinking about it. And I know it's going to be a lot of fun on October 28th for you. The to be talking about this very thing. You got a great talk scheduled for the 28th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Sheraton Madison Hotel. That's on John Nolan Drive in Madison.
And you can come to the door, or you can sign up. Just go to my website, patriciamcconnell.com, and come up and say hi.
Come up and say hi. And say,
I might have to come to that.
You just might. I think you'd like it.
I think I would.
And speaking of just wandering in, here comes Judith again. By golly,
she let off the leash again.
I know.
And she is here to tell a big story here, a good story. It's a fine story. It's a story about how new members are important to Wisconsin Public Radio, among other things. And we're in our fall membership drive right now. And she wants to tell you that if you're a sustainer, you get a big pat on the back because you've contributed to this drive. Maybe you've done it by mail, but every month there's an automatic amount of money coming to Wisconsin Public Radio. We rely on listeners like you. Your support is greatly appreciated and needed. So now's the time to give at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 8 more pledges in the next 10 minutes. We can certainly do that with your help. And when you make that pledge, you will be entered to win 2 tickets on a WPR trip.
So you can donate any amount during our fall membership drive, and you could travel to the Rhine River in Europe or see Alaska's beautiful scenery, or experience the rich culture and cuisine of France. Help pay for the Larry Mueller Show when you give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You know, I've been in the other studio here answering the phones as people have called in during the program to talk with Patricia McConnell, to hear about, animal cognition, how they think, how they feel. You know, this program is an example of the interesting and informative conversations we have on this show every day.
It's really a lot of fun. It's really a lot of fun for us. I know I've enjoyed these conversations. Hope you do, too. I hope you'll just take a few minutes to make this program and the many more programs possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
You know, and consider sharing your appreciation of the lifelong learning you get from WPR by making a 9XM Leadership Circle gift of $100 a month or more. That gift of $1,200 or more provides an important piece of funding for the programs that all of us rely on.
Make that leadership gift right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
I especially like the talk shows. Just having a host and a guest isn't good enough for me. I really like the interaction, and I have called in, but very rarely. I just enjoy hearing other people call in and share information. It's a wonderful source of news for me. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during our fall membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support of WPR. And whether your gift is $10 or $15 a month, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a couple minutes of your time. All we need from you is your name, contact info, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. So please give now at WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552.
If you're wondering why you should give, Jeff from Milwaukee says, I get far more entertainment and education from WPR than I do from Netflix, and that costs me $8 a month. So I decided to give an equal amount to WPR. Why should you give at this moment? Well, because you're listening right now, and you're thinking about it right now.
It's the right thing to do, and you're going to feel good when you do it. WPR is an important public service, and you'll be making an investment in quality music and entertainment, news, and talk.
we really use your donation wisely. We put it into the programs that you hear each and every day, like the Larry Mueller Show. So support this station that you value so much right now. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, a few minutes ago, Judith, you said we were looking for eight more calls, and here we are a few minutes later, and we're still looking for eight more pledges. Now it's in the next 5 minutes or so. And here's a great reason to become a member, by the way.
Well, I'm a little biased on this, but, you know, giving any amount during this pledge drive, you will be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. And you get to choose. There's a wonderful cruise along the Rhine River in Europe in December, the Christmas markets, discovering the wilds of Alaska with Joy Cardine, or sampling the French lifestyle with me. And I have to say, we've put together a really great itinerary.
Sounds wonderful, actually. And if you've already given... All right, thanks a lot. If you haven't, the time is right now. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Pamela,
seven to go.
Pamela from Combined Locks says, I will find myself listening to a show on my drive home and will be completely unable to get out of my car when I get there. My 10-month-old daughter and I listen all day every day because I have WPR on in my kitchen. That's so sweet.
It is. And you know what? She's doing it with her daughter. We do this together, one pledge at a time, as a matter of fact, a dollar at a time. Maybe we're inviting you to join a special group right now. You could start with a donation of $5 a month, or maybe you start with a donation of a dollar a day. It's easy to set it up at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you know what? When you pledge, you'll be adding your voice to the 50,000 members who support Wisconsin Public Radio. Your contribution of any amount is pooled together with those other member contributions to make up the single largest part of our budget.
And we use that money to bring you the great programs every day. Please make your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Still five to go here.
Five to go. David from Toma says, I just started listening about 2 months ago. I listen on my way to and from work and to Larry at lunchtime. Very inspiring. Well, we hope you'll be inspired to support the things that make your life more meaningful, things like Wisconsin Public Radio. Here you get information about events in our region and the world. You find out about what's going on in those animals' minds, like we did today with Patricia. You hear humor and you hear storytelling.
You want a lot of news and information in the coming year, and your support right now makes that possible. Your pledge, any amount, makes a difference at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552.
You know, we haven't mentioned this, but if you pledge now, besides getting entered into the drawing for a WPR trip, you can ask for the WPR logo secure ID tags with your gift of $5 a month. That's $60 or more. And these tags are really cool. They're similar to a luggage tag, but better because they're smaller and they don't show your actual contact info.
You just put one on your key ring, you stick the other one on your phone, and if you lose one of those items... which I have been wont to do, you'll have a way to get them back to you. And you can ask for these handy tags when you pledge $5 a month or more, $60 or more, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I think I'm going to pledge for that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we should do that.
It's a good one. We're looking for four more pledges in the next 3 minutes or so. If you're a sustainer, thank you so much. Maybe make today the day you increase your support of WPR by maybe $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. Do it at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Again, I want to thank you if you have contributed. If you haven't contributed, boy, now's really the time to do it. As we get near the end of the show, we still have three calls to go. Go to WPR.org or pledge at 888-202-2552. And again, thank you so much for your support of public radio.